the Mike Tech Show, show number 661. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name's Mike Tech Show, all one word. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com or go directly to instanthousecall.com and use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. The show is also brought to you by Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes has a portable all-in-one computer toolkit called the Malwarebytes Toolset to help you diagnose, remediate, repair, and secure PCs. One of the great features that I love is their breach remediation scanner built right into the tool. It's really a portable version of Malwarebytes that does a complete scan and repair. You can find out more about this great tool set by clicking on the banner on my right-hand side of the website, and you'll have more details. The show is going to be a quick foot update on my broken foot, and then stories from the trenches, including one today, this morning, that I will talk about. We're going to talk about QuickBooks upgrade, system upgrade, going from Vista to Windows 10, Windows 10 networking repair tips that I've had to do. Matter of fact, I had to put PDFs together. And we're going to talk a little bit about Outlook again. First, the foot update. I had x-rays on Monday, and they revealed that it's starting to finally heal. So there was no surgery this week, and I'm really grateful for that. But I am stuck with the boot for at least another 6 weeks. That's the next set of x-rays. I'm so happy that it is starting to heal. And there's still a big gap in the fracture, but you can actually see it filling in a little bit now. So I'm just doing the same stuff, trying to keep weight off it as best I can, and just light activity. I will go to a client, maybe one client a week, possibly two. And even today, I have clients visiting me here in my home office, and that's why this show, I got to wrap up in an hour because I got clients coming. And it's funny, the one client that's coming is she's bringing her sister with a laptop that they had never opened in 5 years. So I don't know what I'm going to find there. If it hasn't been opened, it should just start right up. Let's see what's happening. And we talked about possibly putting an SSD in it. I don't even know what application she's going to want to do. So that's just one. So this morning, I get a phone call, an email, and a text message from the phone provider NetCarrier for my biggest client. Now, they just have the main line coming in. It's not a NetCarrier phone system. Well, they reported that Comcast was down. They're monitoring the connection, and I'm the main contact. So I already know this morning Comcast is down. Now, is there a power outage or is it just Comcast? Not sure. And the plant's closed for the weekend, so I don't have any access. I try to remote in and I see it's down. I look at Instant House Call. All the systems are offline. So I flip this to Ken because Ken is ex-Comcast business, and he knows how to deal with them, use the right words to escalate, and he really knows how to manage the Comcast business process when we're resolving something. So I gave him all the information and I said, go sick him. See if we can solve this. He texts me almost an hour and says, give it a try. And I test and I can get into everything. So here's what happened. It lost its static IP address. And this has happened two other times over the past 4 years, I would say, where the device will just lose its ability to keep the static IP address, and they got to reset the modem and refeed all of the static information. They did that, and it worked. And I did not have to go down. I didn't have to get someone over there to meet a technician. Now, just in case, they scheduled a tech for first thing Monday morning, and I'm going to follow up tomorrow, make sure everything's good, and then I can call. We can cancel the ticket, cancel the tech. Good support when you get a good tech. And Ken told me the person that was there was very good, understood everything, and sometimes that's rare, especially with your ISPs. Happy ending there. Now my client has a phone system and internet come Monday morning, and I'll keep an eye on that tomorrow. So that was already today before I started recording here. And by the way, I'm recording this on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern time because I couldn't record it on Thursday night. So last week, my son installed a new Dell system for a client. Their system, and this is a home office where they sell carpeting and carpet installs. The system was Vista, and it's been running pretty good for years and years. He never didn't want to upgrade. Well, does Fab's Auto Backup 7 Pro work well with Vista? It was perfect. My son took the hard drive out of the old system after we disabled or deactivated software that has a license, like Malwarebytes or Shadow Protect. Anything that has a specific license, if you have the opportunity, then you want to deactivate those licenses and then reactivate them on the new operating system or the new system. That's part of our process. Take screenshots if we need them just in case. But you know what? We knew we could always put this drive back in and boot the system if we had to. So took the drive out, put it in a little dock, and connected it via USB 3 on the new Optiplex. Have Fab's Auto Backup 7 Pro, instant house call. I remote in and I start the transfer process, and it went perfectly. Had only about 15, 20 gigs of data. So lots of pictures, of course, and you know, some documents and then all the browser settings. Well, here was the big issue. The thing that took the longest was QuickBooks. Yeah, QuickBooks Pro 2009. And that, of course, will not work with Windows 10. Had him buy QuickBooks 2018 Pro for desktop because he doesn't want to use online. There are still a lot of people that hate the online version of QuickBooks. My bookkeeper loves it. Here's what I'm starting to see. Bookkeepers like online, but pure accountants despise QuickBooks Online. So that's just an observation. We had the data backed up. Everything's good. But doing an upgrade straight from 9 all the way to 18, wasn't sure how that was going to go. So we buy 18, download it, install it, activate it. Can we open up the 2009 file? I go right point to the file, begin to import, and we get an error. Now, I'm going to link. The first link for the show notes for this show will be to a QuickBooks fix-it tool that the message led me to and said, run this utility against the QuickBooks file, then start your process again and see if it works. And then if it doesn't, then you got to call it in. Or what one of the recommendations was, download the trial version of QuickBooks 2010. Go through the upgrade process into 2010. Now save that file and go to the latest version. Keep this in mind. If the QuickBooks version is old, too old, you're going to have to go through multiple steps. And you want to researched that, but I thought I could go from 9 to 15. I didn't think I had to do an intermediate step because I've done that before, but I think it might have been 17 or 16 that I might have went to, not 18. Well, that utility fixed the problem because once we ran that utility, just took a couple minutes. And by the way, before you embark upon any of this, you need to know you have all of the QuickBooks admin and password info because this utility, in order to do any work on that file, it asks for that. They thought they knew the password, but it kept failing. And once we realized their admin account did not have a password. So in versions that are old, you don't have, sometimes a lot of people don't have a password for the admin account for QuickBooks, but it forces you to a password in the newer versions, which you want that for security. Once we got past that and it converted the data and we were in and verified, now we're home free. Now it's just doing the printer, the scanner, making sure email works. It was a piece of cake. Thumbs up to Fab's Auto Backup 7 Pro. And of course, there's a link. I'm an affiliate. There's a link in the show notes. I couldn't live without that software when I'm doing any kind of a migration from one system to another. As a matter of fact, next week we got another one where we're migrating the Windows 7 laptop. She now wants a desktop, brand new. So we've just configured another new Optiplex that's going to be installed Wednesday. And Fab's is going to do the transfer from 7 to 10. It's perfect. What else is happening? Outlook. On Thursday, I had to deliver a laptop that I was configuring that my son picked up. And this client, I haven't visited since my broken foot. And I needed to get out there and visit because they're a big client. And I wanted to show my face. So I drop off the laptop that I had set up for them. And now the COO was having a couple problems. One problem was scanning. No longer would the scanner would no longer scan back to his desktop. All right. Second, his Outlook, anytime he would perform a search and then try to delete emails from that search, it would not work properly. So what I had to do was first thing I wanted to make sure, what version is he at with Office? And I always like to go into Word and then execute from Word to go to the account information and then click to download the whatever updates are waiting. But remember, when you do that, you don't want a conflict with the program being open. So once you get the box where Outlook 365 is downloading, close Word. Once Office updated, we launched Outlook, his problem was fixed. So whatever issues he was having, just by going to the latest updates, fixed his problem. He was now able to search, and then from a search result, delete the email, and it deleted. But it doesn't automatically update the search results. You have to research to show that it's deleted. So that was kind of interesting, where in the past, you could do that. So I don't know if this is a change. It probably is a change within Outlook 365 that, you know, Microsoft will call it a feature. Some of my clients will call it a bug. So he's happy with that. Anytime a scanner can no longer talk back to a system, you have to try a couple things. One, you have to check the network settings because they have been changing so many times to Windows 10. I put together two PDFs for clients that if they run into this, this is what they can do. This is the solution. For this particular problem, his settings were fine. SMB was checked and installed. His networking was private. Everything was set. But there was a bunch of post Windows 10 1803 updates. They were sitting there. I was like, let's do it. Waited. There was that cumulative update for Windows 10 1803. Applied it. Tested the scanning. It worked. This one particular system, just making sure Office was updated and Windows 10 was updated, it solved his problems. But not for my big client. So I'm at my client this past Tuesday, and a couple computers that are Windows 10 that whatever the past updates, they changed. And I don't understand something. Why would Microsoft change the network from private to public? I don't get that. Why would they make such a change? And I'm seeing this happen a lot. So I'm going to review right now how to change that. It's pretty easy. Anybody that's been in the business for a long time, you know. But if you're a casual user, then what you want to do is follow these instructions. So we go to Windows 10 settings. So you get the little gear. And then pick network and internet. Now, I'll try to post these PDFs for you. Then you pick change connection properties. Because the network status, you'll see it's Ethernet, and it'll tell you whether it's a private or public network. And if it's public, you want to change it to private. So now, after you click the option to change connection properties, you are now faced with two radio buttons, one that's public, one that's private. Click the private. Now you go back to the previous screen, using the little arrow to go back in settings, and pick change advanced sharing options. Because along the way, Microsoft decides to change whether you want network discovery or not. Even though you pick network discovery, guess what? They decide you don't want network discovery. We're making those decisions for you. Out of all the things Microsoft has done, this is my biggest disagreement, where they impose their will on your decisions and your defaults. And you will never convince me to agree that this is a good thing. They also turn off file and print sharing when we need that. We checked it. We had it. I have some screenshots with little circles around what to check if you want to turn on network discovery and turn on printer and file sharing for your private network. So that fixes half of one problem. The other half, this is a manufacturing facility that has old manufacturing equipment. We're lucky there's an Ethernet adapter. There's no way we can update or make any changes to this. And we need SMB1. I know it's a security breach. It's a security risk. As long as we have extremely good firewall, intrusion prevention, intrusion detection, I have everything locked down with Malwarebytes Premium on all the systems. I have the security surrounding everything locked down, and it's very secure. So I am not opposed to turning on the SMB with Windows 10 so it can communicate with the manufacturing equipment where they have to transfer files to. So how do you do that? And I reviewed this once before. You have to go to the old control panel, programs and features, and then on the lower left-hand side, it's turn Windows features on and off. So you have to click that. Then you scroll down and check all the boxes for SMB. Make sure that that's installed. And when you click next, it will go through the update. Depending on your system and the circumstances, it may require a reboot. I've had it sometimes where it rebooted. I've also had sometimes where it doesn't reboot. In the end, everything got working. But if this happens again, I'm not on site all the time. I'm on site once a week. So I put together these PDFs for a couple key people that are my hands and eyes and ears, that they could perform these functions if needed, if this occurs again. So I'll do that, and I have a repository on the server that a few people have access to with documentation and things that I find that is helpful. Example, they have their manufacturing ERP system, and anytime there's a big client upgrade, especially with Windows 10, there's occasional problems where a DLL didn't get updated or something happens and they get an error message. So I have outlined every error that they can run into. And there's like about five that they could possibly run into. and I have the error and I have the fix. And that's all documented and in this repository on the shared drive on the server. This is a client that has a 1, 2, 3, 4 servers. They have the bigger Untangle appliance. Keeping documentation updated for your client, very, very important. They appreciate that. They like that. I have documentation that if they have a power outage while they're on site, what do they do? What should they physically turn off? What do they leave alone? Because we have UPSs and some things shut down automatically and some things don't. Now, what is the startup process? And that's always important to have that posted in your data center, in the networking closet. If there's ever now, when they're starting up, what is the proper order for the equipment? And that's always something I like to have with my bigger clients that have occasional power outages or power failures. So staying on top of that and doing all of the documentation and the updates, my clients really, really appreciate it. All right, that's going to be it for today. Like I said, I have clients coming over in a half hour, and then I have a lot of work next week where I'm doing it remotely, and I got my son and Ken involved in a big move happening that's going to consume their time next week. I will talk about that. I should be okay, barring no other complications. I should be back to my Thursday schedule. I know I have to work on getting Twitch up and running. I have my account. I just got to practice and I got to work with it. Remember, the best way to support the show is to use the Amazon link in the show notes. Go there, click it. It'll take you to the main Amazon screen. Anything you buy within that session, Carrie Holzman and myself will receive some credit. Your price stays the same. Small piece comes back to help support the show. We really appreciate it. You're supporting Tech Vets, The Mike Tech Show, Carrie Holzman, and myself. Really, really appreciate that. Don't forget to support Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com, download your free trial, and also Malwarebytes and the Malwarebytes tool set. I love that program. My team and myself, again, one of those utilities you can't live without. So check that out. The banner's on the main website at miketechshow.com. That's it. Hope to see you all on Thursday. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.